You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Tonight, I'm going to be preaching on the helmet of salvation. So if you've got your Bible, why don't you open it up to Ephesians 6:10, which says this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Can I remind you tonight, as Paul is writing to us, he's reminding us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we have a spiritual battle that we're actually fighting, right? And what the enemy does, he always comes to attack our identity. He always comes to get us to question who we are. But guess what? I got good news for you tonight. We got the enemy's playbook, right? Paul's telling us in the scripture that the enemy's going to come, but that we can overcome the enemy. As we continue on, it says this, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. You will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Tonight, we're going to dive into one of the most powerful parts of armor, the helmet of salvation. And maybe tonight, maybe you're questioning, why does Paul label the helmet as salvation? The reason for it is that the helmet of salvation, it saves our minds, right? And I really believe that whoever we let win our mind will actually win our life. That who we let win our mind will win our life. The simple truth is that we're in a spiritual battle and the enemy is coming for our mind. And so tonight, I hope my word encourages you to suit up and to put on the helmet of salvation. Because why? It protects us to shape our thoughts and to help our minds be realigned with God's truth. Is that cool? Why don't we pray? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for every mind, every heart that's in this place tonight. Father God, we thank you that your word is alive and it's active and it's for us right now. And Lord God, as we unpack some of your word tonight, may it speak to minds. Would you come and do what only you can do in the hearts of every single person that's here tonight? We say less of us and more of you in this place. And everyone who loved the Lord said, amen, amen. Thank you, team. Oh, you guys are nice. Hell yeah. Tonight's message, if you're taking notes, is called Winning the Battle in Your Mind. Before I was someone who got the opportunity to share the good news with people, I used to actually share the national news with people. Oh, okay. What's up, baby? 11 years old, I was the paper boy for the Bay of Plenty Times in Tauranga. The reason I got the job, actually, is that there was another kid at our church. When I grew up as a kid, McDonald's was here. My church was literally right next door to McDonald's. And I remember this one kid would always rock up to the morning service with a caramel frappuccino in his hand. I said, that life? I want that life. Yummy. I like that. That's good. Yummy. Sorry. Anyway, so what did I do? I said, bro, how are you making so much bank to be rocking up to church with a caramel frappuccino every Sunday morning? He goes, bro, I work for the Bay of Plenty Times. My job application was put in the next week. I then got given the job at working for the Bay of Plenty Times. And my first job that I got given was delivering the paper to the retirement village down the road from my house. I thought I was making bank, $5 a day, worked out to be around $30 a week, turned up coming to church on a Sunday. Not only was I buying myself a frappuccinos, but I was buying my little girl that I was keen to get the riz on with a frappuccino too. You know what I'm saying? And then I would shout the boys a Big Mac combo after church too because I got $30. You know what I'm saying? And I realized that $30 a week isn't that much money. And if you know me well, I've always been a bit of a hustler. Okay, I've always got a little side hustle. And so I thought, how can I make more than $5 a day in this job being the paper boy? And so when it came around to Christmas time, what I would do is I would hand write personal Christmas cards to all the elderly in the retirement village. It would go along the lines of this: Merry Christmas from your paper boy, Brody XO. Mwah, there you go. I would then rock up the next week, the week before Christmas, and there you have it. We had old people standing at their mailbox waiting for Brody the paper boy to deliver the paper. What did they give me in return for their paper? A card. Oh. I got home. What was inside the card? Nice words. Always nice words before the money. Okay, it's always. $20 bills, $10 bills. I actually got a cheeky 50 from someone. Oh, I know, someone is generous. And so what ended up happening is for a couple years at Christmas time, I would actually make a little bit more than $500 each Christmas just from the Christmas cards that I would plant in people's mailboxes. Oh, yeah, I was loaded back then. And so as I continued to just get more experience in my job, the Bay of Plenty Times contact me. They said, Brody, we want to actually give you a job promotion, aka the girl that is delivering the paper on your home street has just quit. Do you want a job delivering to your home street? So I said, yes, I'll do it. And so I began delivering the national news to my neighborhood. And I remember it so clearly. There was a guy that lived at number 5 Stableford Drive. And if you didn't deliver your paper before 5 p.m., he would call the Bay of Plenty Times and he would complain. And if you know when you deliver the paper, if you get a complaint in the month, you don't get your extra tip at the end of the month. And so one day I had bought my brand new GT BMX bike. It was white, and I would say purple. Some people would say it was pink, but it was purple. And I remember this day so clearly. I was riding on my bike. My outfit of the day was always the Vodafone Warrior shorts that came up to here, and my oversized shirt that actually came up to here, and my Justin Bieber haircut. And so here's me riding on my bike up the road like this, and there I see number 5 Stableford Drive with a smoke in one hand and a beer in the other. He goes, oh, here comes my paper girl. Oh. As you can imagine, that destroyed me. And as I continued to get closer to his house, I then give him the paper. I didn't have enough courage to tell him that I wasn't a girl. And he goes, you're the best paper girl in the world. I then rode my bike back down the hill weeping that day. I remember I stormed into the house. I said, Mum, it's time to go. Get in the car now. Mum's like, what's wrong? I said, get in the car. We're going to the warehouse. So Mum drives me to the warehouse. I walk into the warehouse, and I'm boosting through the warehouse, and there it was on the shelf at my eye level was the new mohawk that I was going to connect to my helmet to help people identify me as a man and not a girl. And as I was doing a little bit of research with the Roman soldiers, as I realized that my helmet actually looked the same. I think we've got a photo on the screen. Damn! That's my helmet! I was like, bro, I'm a man and I'm going to prove it. Can we show the soldier? Oh, pretty much the same thing, right? Pretty much the same thing. But what I realized is, in terms of winning our mind, is that we have to put on the helmet of salvation. And what I noticed with the helmet is that the number one job of a helmet is to protect our heads, right? It's to protect our minds. But the second thing that the helmet does is it brings a sense of identity to our life too. The Roman soldiers wore their helmets and people could identify that they were soldiers. Just like I wore my helmet with the mohawk, people could now identify that I was a boy, not a girl. My first point that I have for you tonight is if we want to win the battle in our mind, the first thing we have to understand is who we are in Christ. Because I believe that the helmet of salvation brings protection to our mind, but it also gives us our identity. It's our salvation in Christ that actually gives us our identity. Can I let you know tonight that the world is working overtime at trying to establish an identity that you don't actually want to have? The world is working overtime at making you try to have this identity that you don't want to have. But as Christians, one of the most foundational truths we have is that salvation gives us a new identity. It's as if God has just put this label on our head that said, you are chosen, you are loved, you're a child of God, you're forgiven, you're set free. You're not what old Joe Bloggs, number 5, Stableford Drive has to say about you, but you're who you are, what I have to say about you. See, the enemy will always attack our identity. He will always get us questioning who we are. But here's the thing. If the enemy can confuse you of who you are, it'll actually stop you from walking out the life that God has for you. That if the enemy can get you to question who you are, it'll actually stop you from walking in the call that God has for your life. I look at Jesus, and when Jesus went into the wilderness to pray and to fast, what's the first thing that the enemy tried to do? He tried to confuse him of his identity. Luke 4:3, which is up on the screen. When the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become a loaf of bread. The first thing he says is, if you are the Son of God. Right away, he's attacking Jesus' identity. Guess what? He does the same thing to us. If he can attack our identity and get us questioning who we are, we won't live in the call that God has for us. But here's the good news. When we put on the helmet of salvation, it means grounding ourselves in the truth of who we are in Christ. In today's world, we let the labels of other people be the thing that we identify with. But here's the biggest thing about labels. Labels actually limit us. Labels limit who we are and who we're called to be. I look at the woman with the issue of blood. Her illness was labeled as unclean in her society, isolating her from social and religious life, but it was her faith in Jesus that got her healed. Right? Bartimaeus was labeled with his blindness and poverty. Through society, he was ignored, but he defied expectations by calling out to Jesus. What did Jesus do to him? He healed him. Same with the Samaritan woman. We know her very well, right? No one got it. Samaritan woman, we know. Okay, sweet. Due to her status as a Samaritan woman and her personal history with multiple husbands, the woman was looked at as unclean, right? She was looked at as unclean. Once again, she was one of the first people to encounter Jesus and her life was transformed and changed forever. Can I remind you tonight that we got to stop looking for the labels that other people put on us and come back to the truth and the Word of God, which actually tells us that we are a child of God, that we're loved, that we're set free, and that we're redeemed. Stop letting labels define who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Can I remind you tonight, God doesn't see you as your past failures and your past mistakes, but he actually sees you as a new creation. This is the heart of salvation, that you are a child, that you are forgiven, and that you are loved. That's actually your true identity. But here's what happens. The enemy will always try to attack our identity. And how does he do this? He does this by planting thoughts in our heads that we aren't forgiven, that we aren't loved, that we aren't chosen, that we aren't a child of God. Why does he do this? He does this because if he can get us questioning who we are in our identity, we begin to become uncertain, insecure, and disconnected from God's truth. We end up letting our thoughts, our fears, and our past mistakes define us instead of the Word of God. Can I encourage you tonight that every single day when we choose to put on the armor of God, when we choose to put on the helmet of salvation, we aren't looking to the labels that the world put on us, but we come straight to the Word of God and we say, God, I thank you that I'm chosen. Lord God, I thank you that you forgive me. Lord God, I thank you that regardless of my sin, regardless of my mistakes, that you see me as a new creation. When you know who you are, you have the security and the strength to resist the enemy's attacks. Remember, God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to keep you the same. Right? God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to keep you the same. He wants to transform you, and that transformation starts from knowing and embracing your true identity. Once we know who we are in Christ, we then got to begin to change the way that we think. The gospel doesn't just save you the day that you give your life to Jesus, but the gospel saves you every day of your life. Can I let you know tonight that we don't graduate from grace? I think sometimes the hardest thing for us to believe as believers isn't following all the rules that maybe God puts out for us, but it's actually believing in the gospel itself. Like, I know this for my own life. I know it's so easy for me to believe in the gospel when it's for a young person that comes to my youth ministry on a Friday night. But sometimes it's actually hard for me to actually believe the gospel for my own life. Can I let you know tonight that Jesus has saved you, that he saves you in your seat here tonight, but he loves you so much that he doesn't want to keep you the same. And it got me thinking about salvation, and the helmet of salvation is that it's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to actually have saved thinking. It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to have saved thinking. I remember this, we had this young Tongan boy that began coming to our youth ministry about 5 or 6 years ago, my first year as a youth pastor. And I remember he began to invite his family, he began to invite his friends to youth group. And all of a sudden we begin to see family member after family member give their life to Jesus. And I remember this one Sunday morning, there was about 7 family members from this household that got baptized, right? But the next week, I remember it was late at night, and I get a phone call from someone saying, "Hey, Brody, I need you to come to my house ASAP because your youth boys are threatening to come and destroy our home and our family." And I was like the same guys that got baptized at church on Sunday? Yes, the same guys that got baptized at church on Sunday. Right, they had an encounter that changed the heart, but their thinking was still the same way, was still the old stinking thinking. What had happened is another boy in our youth ministry had called upon these guys because he looked at them as older brothers, and he had said, "Can you come and help me? I need you to come beat up my family for me." This is true, a true story. And I remember rocking up to this house, by the grace of God, was able to de-escalate the situation. But it reminded me so much, yes, these guys were saved, but their thinking wasn't. Right? Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." How we think is actually how we end up living. But I got good news for you tonight. If you got stinking thinking, if you feel like your thought patterns are the same, I got great news, because Paul tells me in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind, so you can" what? "Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Here's the truth. When we give our life to Christ, salvation in our spirit happens instantly, but our minds are still in need of renewal. I'll be real with you tonight. As I stand up here tonight, I am saved because of what Jesus did, but my mind is still in need of renewal. It's like a process that takes a lot of time, a lot of dedication, and a lot of intentional effort. Without renewing our minds, we'll keep struggling with the same temptations and patterns because we're thinking the same way we were before we knew Christ. Let's be real. So many of us come to church on a Sunday, we get encouraged, we get stirred in our faith, but so many of us go back to work on Monday with the same thinking. So many of us go back to our workplaces with the same temptations. So many of us go back to our home lives with the same battles. Here's the thing. When we give our life to Jesus, that's something that can transform us. But that transformation in our spirit now needs to translate into a transformation in our mind. We can't live in freedom if our mind is stuck in old patterns. That's why it's time to stop telling yourself that you'll never be good enough. That's why it's time to stop telling yourself that you'll never be free. That's why it's time to stop telling yourself that you'll never be enough, because what you think is what you end up becoming. That's why I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation, because I need to renew my mind in order to walk in the freedom that Christ actually has for me. I'm choosing today to renew my mind because I know that God's way is greater than the way that my brain naturally thinks. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive of every thought and make it obedient to Christ." I have a negative thought today. I'm going to take it captive and I'm going to make it obedient to Christ. I know that's not from you, Lord. And so I replace that with your truth. Lord God, I thank you that your grace is enough. I thank you that it covers me. I thank you that you have a plan, that you have a purpose for my life. I imagine this like a checkpoint in your mind. Every thought that comes into your mind doesn't actually need to stay there. Here's the thing. God has given us power to capture those negative, destructive thoughts and to make them obedient to Christ. It's time to start taking control of the way that we think. Just because a thought came into your mind doesn't mean you need to feast on that thought, because I realize that what I feast on is what I end up becoming. That's why I'm going to choose to feast on the things of God. I'm not going to choose to feast on the things of this world. I love Craig Rochelle. He says this: your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Can I ask you tonight, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Are you excited? I know that I'm not. Seriously, are you excited of the direction your thoughts are taking you? Every time a negative thought comes into our mind, church, it's time to start actually making that thing captive, giving it to Christ, and replacing it with His truth. Because I want to become a child, I want to walk in the fullness that God has for me, and so I'm not going to let the words of others actually be the thing that control me. That's why we have to remind ourselves of verses like Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When we renew our mind, we start to see the transformation take place in our life. That's why I'm going to choose to put on the armor of God. That's why I'm going to choose to put on the helmet of salvation, so I can renew my mind and live in the freedom that Christ has for me. I love that verse, how it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. That transformation starts with renewing your mind. If you can renew your mind, you can transform your life. Your life can change. For those that don't know, which is probably most people in the room, is my older brother struggled with a hardcore drug addiction for 15 years. When I say hardcore, I mean like any drug, name it, my brother's done it. He was in deep addiction. To be honest, like most people, I'm surprised he's still alive to this day. Was in and out of prison, made mistakes, took drugs that changed the way that he thought, the way that he lived. But by the grace of God, he's now set free of those things. He's recently just given his life back to Jesus, very recently. And last week, I was literally working, and bro calls me every day now. Like, he's calling me all the time, telling me all these cool revelations that God's doing in his life and how the Word's speaking to him. And he called me last week, and he goes, Brody, I've just been spending time in the Word of God, and I'm starting to, like, interpret the Scripture, and it's starting to just do something on the inside of me. But, bro, like, I know there's this kid in your youth group that's really struggling, and God just keeps putting him on my mind. I keep waking up at night, and all I can think of is this young person. And my brother doesn't come from much. Like, he actually has nothing, right? And so my brother goes, but Brody, I really feel like God's wanting me to financially bless this kid. This kid that he's talking about, he has no idea this kid's walk of life. If I could tell you, confidently I can tell you this, he is the poorest kid in our youth ministry. He comes from absolutely nothing. He's been thrown around from home to home. My brother has no idea. But Holy Spirit's revealing this stuff to my brother as he's sleeping. My brother goes, Brody, I want to give him money. I want to help him out. And so I text this youth boy on last week, and I say, bro, there's someone in our church that wants to bless you with some money. What's your bank details? And then he responds with, oh, nah, bro, they don't need to do that. Like, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm sure. And so the kid rings me on the phone, and he goes, who is it? The one rule that my brother gave to me was that this kid could not find out who's giving the money. By the way, my brother said I could share this tonight, okay? Just to clarify. Oh, the kid's watching the live stream. Oh, I know who it is. But he said, the one rule is you can't tell him who it is, but here's another rule that I want for him. I want you to remind him tonight that God sees him, that God loves him, and that God's so proud of him. I have this boy on the phone, and he goes, bro, are you sure? Are you sure? I go, I'm sure. But it's under one condition. My brother said, I have to tell you this. My brother says, oh, I didn't say my brother. My bad. I didn't say that. My bad. Sheesh. Maybe I did. Oh, no. I don't know. Did I say it? But I said, under one condition, I said, this person wanted to remind you that God sees you where you're at right now. This boy starts weeping on the phone. This boy this last week had gone through one of the toughest weeks of his life, and he had questioned God in his life. He had questioned if God was really for him. And I'm like beginning to like weep on the phone because I'm like, oh my gosh, my crackhead brother all of a sudden is hearing from the Lord and it's changing lives. Well. But what I loved is that my brother's mind is beginning to get transformed, and it's transforming the way that my brother lives. Can I let you know that when you transform your mind, it transforms your life? We actually as believers are called to live transformed lives. Right, Romans 8:5 says this, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Here's the thing, when we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, on God's truth, on His promises, and on His love, our lives are actually transformed from the inside out. Can I let you know, we serve a God of the business who wants to transform your life from the inside out. As the keys come and join me tonight. Transformation doesn't start with behavior, but it starts with a renewed mind. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His truth, we actually then begin to live different. Our decisions, our reactions, our emotions, and even our relationships are all affected by the way that we think. Can I let you know tonight, if you can change your thinking, if you can renew it with the Word of God, it'll change your life. When we align our thoughts with God's Spirit, we begin to reflect His character. We stop believing the lies of the enemy. Instead, we believe the truth of God's Word, that God has a plan for my life, that He has a purpose for my life, that I'm a new creation in Christ. It transforms the way that we live. As we continue to renew our minds, we begin to see life differently. The fears, the doubts, the struggles, the insecurities that once held us back no longer have the same power. We start to live in the peace, in the joy, and in the confidence that Christ has for us because our minds are set on the things of the Spirit. Can I let you know tonight? As I was praying for my brother for the last 15 years, did I not once think that God would get a hold of his life, that Jesus would save him, that Jesus would begin to challenge him to get into his word, that the word would begin to transform his mind to the position that now he's living a transformed life and God's nature and character is being reflected through his acts? Change your thinking and it will change your life. That's why I'm going to choose today to put on the helmet of salvation, because I know that the enemy is after my mind, and I know that if the enemy can win my mind, he'll end up winning my life. I was talking to Christian today at lunch, and he was telling me when he used to work in the circus. That they used to tie a rope, which is connected to a stake on the ground. And they would tie an elephant, a baby elephant, to the rope with the stake in the ground, right? As the elephant tried to move forward, it was met with resistance, right? It was met with tension. It was told that you're not strong enough to break free. Here's the thing with elephants. Apparently, they got really good minds and they remember things. And so as this elephant gets older, they still tie it to the same small stake in the ground with the small rope. But here's the thing, the bigger the elephant got, the stronger the elephant got, but the elephant was so conditioned to its old way of thinking, it couldn't actually live in the fullness that God had called that elephant to live in. And I think it's the same with us. I think so many of us have been conditioned by the old lies of the enemy, that we have actually been like the elephant connected to the stake, and we can't actually move forward and step into the fullness of life that Christ has for us. I don't know how you walked into this place tonight, but can I let you know, the enemy's number one job is to come rob, kill, and destroy. And if he can win your mind, he'll win your life. But I got good news for you tonight, that Christ sets you free. That freedom is found in Jesus. That wholeness is found in Jesus. That fullness of life is found in Him. And can I let you know that when you can begin to change the way that you think, when you begin to renew your mind with the truth and the Word of God, not only will it do something on the inside of you, but it will begin to transform everything about you. And so tonight, as I was driving here this weekend to come and preach, I just really felt like God spoke to me that He wants to restore minds tonight. That there are people in this room tonight that have had words spoken on them and it's conditioned you to live the way that you're living. But God's saying, hey, no longer be conditioned to these words, but step into the fullness that I have for you. And so with all eyes closed in this place, with all heads even bowed in this place, we're just going to have a moment. Because I think we've all got something. I think we've all got a lie from the enemy or a word that's been spoken over us that has conditioned the way that we now live our lives. And so just in this moment, I just want you to think of maybe what that is. I want you to think of that thought. I want you to take it, make it captive, and make it obedient to Christ right now in this moment. Now I'm going to pray for you. And I just believe that tonight that there are people who are going to walk away from this place set free in their minds. Father God, we thank you for every person that's in this room tonight. Father God, we thank you that you love us the way we are, but you love us too much to keep us this way. And so, Father God, we pray for every mind in this house tonight. Lord God, we speak to any lie that has come from the pit of hell. Lord God, we rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. We command the thoughts of the enemy to leave minds in this place right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, it's by your stripes that we are healed. And so, Father God, we thank you that you call us to live a life of fullness. And so, Father God, we just pray right now for protection over every mind, for every lie that's been spoken over every mind tonight, that'll be replaced with your truth right now in Jesus' name. We pray for your love. We pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Would that come and sit on the minds of every single person that's in this place tonight? Father God, would you come and do a work that only you can do? Father God, would you remind us that our identity is found in you? Would you begin to help us renew our minds so that we can live lives that are transformed? We give this to you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.